Welcome to Stork Science World. I'm Jamie, and today we're diving into a fascinating study just published in Nature Neuroscience. As always, this podcast is produced by Stork, the research productivity software helping scientists organize and accelerate their work.
And I'm Alex. Jamie, I'm really excited about today's paper because it's giving us an unprecedented look at how the human brain develops at the cellular level. The researchers use some pretty impressive computational techniques to analyze brain cell development in a way that hasn't been done before.
Absolutely, Alex. This study, led by Patricia Nano and colleagues including senior author Aparna Baduri, is titled Integrated Analysis of Molecular Atlases Unveils Modules Driving Developmental Cell Subtype Specification in the Human Cortex. That's quite a mouthful. But essentially, they've created a comprehensive map of gene networks that drive brain cell development.
Right, and what makes the study so powerful is the scale of it. They performed what they call meta-analyses of the human cortex, looking at 7 different datasets from developing brains and 16 datasets from adult brains. Gave them over 500 gene co-expression networks to analyze.
You know, Alex, what I find particularly interesting is how they focused on peak stages of neurogenesis. That's the process of generating new neurons. The human cerebral cortex is what makes us, well, human. It's responsible for our higher cognitive functions like judgment, perception, and language.
Exactly. And understanding how this complex structure develops is crucial, not just for basic science, but also because many neurodevelopmental and psychiatric disorders have their origins during these critical developmental periods. Previous studies have mostly relied on identifying marker genes to classify cell types, but this approach has limitations.
That's right. Individual marker genes don't fully capture the complexity of development, especially since cells exist on a continuum where multiple marker genes can be expressed in the same cell. What these researchers did differently was to look at the whole picture, entire gene networks that drive cell specification.
And Jamie, they called these gene networks metamodules. They identified 225 of these metamodules that describe human cortical development, particularly during peak neurogenesis. These modules show really dynamic patterns of activity in different cell subtypes throughout development.
What's cool is that some of these metamodules display specific spatiotemporal expression patterns, meaning they're active in particular places and at particular times, which suggests they play important roles in determining cell fate. The researchers even validated the expression of these modules in actual human cortical tissues.
Let's talk about one specific example they highlight, metamodule 20. This particular network is elevated in what are called FEZF2 positive deep layer neurons. It includes a transcription factor called TSHZ3, which has been associated with neurodevelopmental disorders.
And they didn't just observe this pattern, Alex. They actually tested it functionally using what they call human cortical chimeroid experiments. These are essentially lab-grown models of the developing human cortex. They found that both FEZF2 and TSHZ3 are required to drive module 20 activity and deep layer neuron specification. But they work through different mechanisms.
That's such a powerful validation of their computational approach. It shows how these meta-atlases can lead to mechanistic understanding of how cortical cell fates are specified. You know, traditional approaches to studying brain development have been limited by the realities of rare samples. No single study has comprehensively profiled the entire span of cortical regions or developmental stages.
Exactly. What makes this study unique is their metamodule gene co-expression strategy. They used iterative hierarchical clustering to integrate all these single-cell transcriptomic profiles from both developing and adult human cortex. This allowed them to extract gene networks that describe not just cell types, but also key developmental processes and signatures of maturation.
And their focus on the stages of peak neurogenesis and the transition from neurogenesis to gliogenesis was really strategic. These time points capture when radial glia, the neural stem cells of the cortex, give rise to the vast majority of cell types found in the cortex.
Using this approach, they found networks relevant to that critical neurogenesis to gliogenesis transition and the establishment of specific neuronal subtypes. And as we mentioned, they validated their findings using immunostaining in primary developing human cerebral cortex tissue.
Let's talk about their findings with MetaModule 20 a bit more, because I think it's a great example of the power of this approach. They found that MetaModule 20 steadily increases in activity throughout development, particularly in deep layer neuronal subtypes.
Right, and in the adult human cortex, the cells with the greatest MetaModule 20 expression were almost exclusively deep layer neurons. More specifically, they were enriched in subtypes associated with FEZF2, which is a well-established deep layer terminal specification factor.
What's fascinating is that FEZ2 itself isn't actually a gene within Module 20. Instead, they found that during gestation, FEZ2 expression preceded MetaModule 20 activity. FEZ2 peaks transiently between gestational weeks 10 to 15 and then diminishes by the time MetaModule 20 activity peaks.
So they hypothesize that FEZF2 might induce the activation of MetaModule 20 within maturing deep layer neurons. When they compared MetaModule 20 genes with putative FEZF2 targets, they found that almost half of MetaModule 20 genes are putative FEZF2 targets, 35 out of 74 genes.
And within MetaModule 20, there's only one transcription factor, TSHZ3. This factor was recently implicated in autism spectrum disorder, which makes this connection particularly interesting from the clinical perspective.
The researchers found that TSHZ3 displays a transient activation between gestational weeks 15 to 21, peaking between the peaks of FEZF2 and MetaModule 20 activation. This temporal sequence suggests a model where FEZF2 activates TSHZ3, which then induces MetaModule 20 to promote the specification of these deep layer subtypes.
And they validated this model through their shimroid experiments. When they knocked down both FEZFIC2 and TSHZ3, they observed a significant decrease in deep layer neurons and intermediate progenitor cells, accompanied by an increase in radial glia. This suggests that depletion of these factors impedes the proper differentiation of radial glia into deep layer neurons.
Their multi-omic analysis also revealed something really interesting about how FEZF2 and TSHZ3 function. While FEZF2 seems to act as a transcription activator, TSHZ3 appears to mediate chromatin accessibility. This suggests a nuanced relationship between these factors in specifying deep layer neuron identity.
You know, Jamie, what I find particularly valuable about this study is how it provides a searchable resource of these 225 metamodules that characterize stages of peak neurogenesis in the developing human brain, plus 299 modules that describe cell types in the adult human cortex. They've made all of this available through the UCSC Genome Browser.
Absolutely. This resource will allow researchers to link how adult cortical subtypes might be initiated and shaped during development. It's really a foundation for further functional studies that could yield even more mechanistic insights.
And their meta-atlas strategy is versatile. It can be adapted to incorporate future datasets or even applied to other complex biological systems. This kind of integrative approach really represents the future of developmental biology research.
To wrap up, this study gives us unprecedented insight into how gene expression networks drive cell fate specification from development to adulthood. By creating these comprehensive meta-atlases, the researchers have provided a powerful resource for understanding the complex processes that build our brains.
And importantly, this work could have implications for understanding neurodevelopmental disorders. Since many of these disorders originate during development, having a clearer picture of the gene networks involved in normal brain development could help identify what goes wrong in pathological conditions.
That's exactly right, Alex. This study is a beautiful example of how computational approaches can yield biological insights that might not be accessible through traditional methods alone. and it reminds us that development is an orchestrated sequence of events, with different cell types, subtypes, and developmental trajectories all progressing in parallel.
Well, that's all for today's episode of Stork Science World. If you enjoyed this discussion, please subscribe to our podcast and share it with your colleagues. And remember, Stork is the research productivity software helping scientists organize and accelerate their work.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back soon with more fascinating research from the world of neuroscience and beyond. Until next time, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Alex. See you next time on Stork Science World.